And all that I have, all that I ever hope to gain, He is worthy of it all. This morning is a time when we release our children and volunteers at Children's Church. We'll invite you guys to head back in that direction. Those of you that are left, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8. Sometimes when I think I finished up a series, God reminds me of something else that I need to share. And today, I'm kind of finishing up again this series on the treasure that is Jesus, because we talked about the treasure that's Jesus. We talked about from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, that He is our wisdom, that He is our righteousness, that He is our sanctification, that He is our redemption. And we talked about who He is, but as I began to try and think about, okay, where do I go next, God just kind of brought to my mind that okay, so what? What difference does that make? And how can we live like our treasure is real? And many of you have known people, or you've read about people that are millionaires but live like they're paupers. You've heard about people that have this painting that's been given down to them, and it's just something that they've owned for many years. It's been in their family for a long time, and they have no idea until they get it appraised that it's worth millions. They've got this treasure that they know nothing about, and it really doesn't affect anything about their life. It's just something that's handed down. It's something that they got, and it's making no difference in their life. Well, we think of those kind of people and you think, man, that's foolish. You've got this great treasure. You've got this great benefit. You've got this great opportunity, but yet you act like you're broke. You act like you don't have it. You have no idea what you possess, and therefore it doesn't make any difference in your life. You're just going along and doing life, and this great treasure has no impact. Well, far too long that's been the truth for Christians. We have this great treasure in Jesus Christ, and we'll say, "Well, amen." Yeah, he's our wisdom from God. We have the mind of Christ. Amen. He is our righteousness. We have been given this robe of righteousness that doesn't come from the law, and we are looked upon by God as righteous rather than sinners, and He relates to us and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Yeah, praise God, we got it. You know, we're His sanctification. We're sanctified. We've been set apart for the glory of God. We're no longer who we were. Our destiny is different. Our hopes are bigger. Our possibilities have now been transformed. But yet we live not really different than anybody else in the world. We're set apart, but we don't really act the part. You know, and then He is our redemption. We've been bought back. We're no longer our own. We've been bought with a price. And Jesus paid a great price. Not just with gold and silver have we been bought, but with the very blood of the Son of God. We have been redeemed. Our greatest failure now becomes the opportunity for God's greatest grace. And God redeems not only our soul, but He redeems our mistakes and our mess-ups and our foolishness. And we're owned by someone else. We are adopted into the family of God, and we are children of God, sons and daughters of the Most High. And all this God that we've been singing about is ours, and we are His, but yet we live as spiritual paupers. Really doesn't affect the way we live. We don't live any different than other people in the world. We just kind of exist and make it through our day, and we just kind of go from this to that and trouble to trouble, and sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad, and it just is what it is. It's life, and we just kind of muddle through it. We've got this great treasure that we acknowledge, yeah, we got it. But what difference is it making? And that's kind of where I am today. Because so often and for so many years, I've been preaching a long time, but I've sat under preaching all my life. And in my own life, a lot of times, I've sat under some really good preaching. Man, I've heard the truth all my life, but it really didn't impact me. And as a preacher, I'm on the other side of it now. I preach and I preach and I preach, but I see a lot of people that they'll agree, yeah, amen, yeah, I agree, yeah, that's right, yeah, I'm saved, yeah, I'm this. But it really is not impacting their life. Why is it not making a difference? If you're saved, if you really have this treasure, which is Jesus inside of you, if you are a son or a daughter of God, why aren't we living like it? Why is it making a why is it not making a difference in our life? I think because we lose focus. Now, I think Romans chapter 8 kind of addresses this, and if I'm going to title this, I'm going to entitle it The Treasured Effect. The Treasured Effect. Because oftentimes we may have a treasure, but it doesn't affect our lives. If our treasure is going to affect our lives, then there's some things that we've got to do. There's some things that it's more than just understanding and knowing. All right? So in Romans chapter 8, if you will, if you'll stand with me, we'll begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 13. Again, this is a passage that's very well known, and especially Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It's a very loved passage and a very encouraging passage, but he gives us some how-tos and why this makes a difference, should make a difference, and how it can make a difference in our lives as we follow. So verse 1 of chapter 8 says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death." Hallelujah. "For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. Hallelujah. That is the treasure that is Jesus. So that the requirements of the law might be met and fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are not under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, we must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Lord God, we thank You for this great treasure that is Christ Jesus. God, we thank You for the truth, and we understand that He has given us so much. He has purchased so much for us. He has purchased our soul. He has purchased our body. He has purchased our mind. He has purchased our salvation, our sanctification, our righteousness. He has purchased us and redeemed us, God. He has purchased us so that we can know the wisdom of God. And He offers it to us freely. But Lord, in my own life, in the life of so many people I know and have known over the years, we acknowledge the treasure, but God, it doesn't affect our life. We still live defeated. So God, today I pray that You would help us see, help us know, help us understand that we must choose whom we will serve. We have to set our mind on the things of the Spirit. And so, God, we want the Spirit within us to affect our lives. We want the Spirit in us to transform our lives. We want the Spirit in us, Lord, to let the benefits, the results, the truth of this treasure overflow in our lives. Change us today, I pray. Help me to rightly divide Your word. Help me to explain it in such a way that people will understand. And Lord, I pray You would anoint it with Your Spirit so that it will change our minds and our hearts and our lives forever. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, many scholars have debated chapter 7 and chapter 8 of Romans. You've probably heard of this, but there's this war that's going on in the flesh that Paul talks about. And in chapter 7, some say, well, Paul is describing us before salvation, and chapter 8 is after salvation. Some people will say, no, because you're saved doesn't mean the flesh goes away and your propensity to sin goes away. There's still this war that's taking place. So it describes the struggle between salvation and Christian maturity and the difference that it makes. So, I tend to believe, this is my opinion, I'm not an authority on it, but I tend to believe this is what it's talking about from chapter 7 to chapter 8. We get saved, but yet we struggle with sin in our life. There's still this tearing of the flesh, this war between our fleshly nature and the Spirit of God that dwells in us, and our desire to honor God, but yet are living in a fallen world and with a fallen mind and a fallen heart and a sin-sick existence. And so he asked this question of verse 24 in chapter 7, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Who can help me win? How can I overcome this flesh nature, this sin nature? How can I not ever be sinless in this life, but how can I become to where I sin less in this life?" And I begin to look more and more like Jesus, and the fruit of righteousness begins to grow and be produced in my life. How is my life changed? How can I overcome this propensity to sin? And he says, verse 25, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." This treasure that we have is supposed to radically transform our lives. It's not just supposed to be stuck in the attic somewhere or just pulled out on Sundays like you do used to do your sports coats and your ties and all that stuff. You never wore them any other day, but Sunday we're going to pull them out. We're going to put on our coat and our tie to go to church, you know. And we put on our Jesus to go to church. And then when we get home, we take our Jesus off with our coat and our tie and we just live life. That's not what it's intended to do. This treasure is supposed to affect our life, and it's supposed to transform our life. It's supposed to produce the fruit of righteousness in our life. It's supposed to not make us sin less on this side of the earth or this side of heaven, because we do have this sin nature still in us, this struggle between the flesh and the Spirit of God. But it should cause us to live radically different. And the more we walk with Him, the more we understand this treasure, the more we live in the power and the surplus of this treasure that is Jesus, our lives begin to look differently. And Paul says the only hope we have of living differently is through Jesus Christ our Lord, because He is our great treasure. So he says in verse 1 of chapter 8, he says, "Therefore, because Jesus is our hope and because Jesus is our Lord, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." He's removed the condemnation, the death sentence. He's taken away the condemnation of our sin. And we are living free from that condemnation. We have a hope of life eternal. We have the hope and the assurance of living with God forever. And so he says, look, you've been taken from death to life. You've been taken from darkness to light. Your life should be radically different now, because your condemnation's been removed. You don't have to work for your salvation. You don't have to be good enough, because you can't. And he talks about that earlier on. But Jesus, through His sacrifice on the cross, has removed our condemnation when we submit our lives to Him and accept Him as our Lord and Savior. So he begins to celebrate this great treasure we have in Jesus. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. But how do you live differently? How do you let this truth, this treasure, begin to produce the fruit of righteousness in your life? How do you let this treasure, this truth, begin to transform how you live? Well, he begins to walk us through it. He said, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death." In other words, we now have the choice as to whether we're going to sin or not. We're not enslaved to sin. We've been set free from sin because of the law of life in Christ Jesus. That condemnation's been removed. That death sentence's been removed. Those chains have been taken off. And we're set free. And we need to understand that. This treasure gives us freedom. This redemption that's ours. This sanctification we talked about. This wisdom of God that we talked about. This righteousness of God that we talked about. All of these treasures should change the way we live. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Now, what is he talking about? The weakness of the law in the flesh. He says, what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh. Now, the law is perfect. The law is righteous. There is no weakness in the law. He says the weakness through the flesh. See, the problem is, in our fallen state, we can't keep the law. If we could keep the law, we could earn our righteousness from the law. If we could keep it perfectly. That's why Paul says later on, if you fail in one aspect of the law, then you're guilty of all the law. And those, he says, he's talking to the Christians, hey, why are you going back to the law? Why are you being deceived by people? He's talking about the Galatians. Why are you being taken captive again by the law? Because they're saying, okay, we've got a Jesus, we're saved by Jesus, but we also got to keep the law in order to stay saved. So why are you imposing the law back on you? You've been set free from the law. Nobody is justified through the law. Why? Because you can't keep the law. Your flesh is weak. That's the weakness of the law. It's the flesh that's trying to keep it, not the law itself. So he says, Jesus had to come in the likeness of sinful flesh. Why is that important? He came in the form of a man. He was fully God, yet fully man. He was tempted in every way, he tells us in Hebrews, yet without sin. So Jesus lived that perfect life that we could not live. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was tempted to sin in the flesh like we are, but yet he kept the law perfectly. He says in chapter 17 or 18 of John that, look, I glorified you in that I did everything, I accomplished everything you sent me to accomplish. In other words, I was in perfect obedience to you from the moment I was born till the day that I hang on the cross. I have done everything you want me to, absolute perfect obedience. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. That's what he's saying here. We can't keep the law. So Jesus came in the form of man and he kept the law perfectly. So therefore he could die to remove our condemnation. What a treasure. Now, how does that treasure affect our life? Why isn't that truth transforming how we live? Verse 4, he continues to explain it. So that he came, so that the requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So when we are saved and we receive the Spirit of God, we're supposed to walk according to the Spirit. We're able to walk according to the Spirit. We're able to live radically different. That's the whole purpose of salvation. He did it so that the law would be requirements of the law would be fulfilled in us. He gives his righteousness that we talked about. At salvation. So the righteousness of the law, the requirements of the law are fulfilled. And we are not to walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those, now, there's a phrase there that we need to understand. What does it mean to walk according to the flesh? It means to walk in a manner of the flesh. After the manner of the flesh. We're not to walk after the manner of the flesh, but after the manner of the Spirit. We're not to do things like unsaved people do them. We're not to do things like we did before salvation. There's supposed to be a radical transformation of our lives, our behaviors, our actions. People should see a dramatic shift from the time before you were saved to the time after you're saved. Now, that may not happen immediately. It may not be just absolutely mind-boggling at the very beginning, but as the process, the longer you walk with the Lord, there should be a radical change in your life from non-Christians. And I've known way too many people who have been saved for 50, 60, 70 years, and there's very little change in their life. Why? Because they're not letting the treasure that is Jesus affect their behavior. Either they're not saved and they're playing church, or they are saved and they're not letting the treasure change the way they live. They're not letting the treasure affect their life. Way too many Christians are just doing life and not demonstrating the difference Jesus makes. So he says, the reason we're saved is so that we'll not walk in the manner of the flesh, but according to the manner or after the manner of the Spirit. For those who are after the manner of the flesh, who live their life as if still in the flesh, set their mind on the things of the flesh. You know why we still live like we did before we're saved and there's no real difference in our life? Because our mind's set on the things of this world. That's what he says. You still think like you did before. Your goals are still what they were before you were saved. Now you're just hoping Jesus will bless your plans. Our mind is still thinking just like we were before we were saved. Our mind still functions just like those who aren't saved. We've got this treasure within. We've got the righteousness of God. We've got the mind of God. We're sanctified by God. We have been redeemed by God for a purpose other than our own, but yet we haven't changed the way we think. Our goals are still set on the things of the earth. Our goal is still, I just want to retire, relax, and be happy. I want to be as comfortable as I can. I want to experience all that this life has for me. I'm saved, and when I die, I'll get to go to heaven. But till I get to go to heaven, I want to make sure I got plenty of money, plenty of stuff. I want to experience this. I want to do that. And this is my plans for here. And it's not. We're still got our mind set on the things of the flesh. That's why we get so frustrated. That's why we get so aggravated. That's why we get so stressed out. That's why we are just as anxious and experience as much anxiety as non-Christians do. Because our mind is set on the things of the flesh. And he begins to explain, look, a mind set on the things of the flesh is death. We don't live in the life and the light of Jesus. You can be saved, and if your mind is still set on the things of this earth, and your goals are all about this earth, and you're still living for you rather than for God, if your goals are just to keep, provide for my family and have plenty of money, retire and go fishing every day I want to, do whatever I want to, when I want to have enough money, I can be comfortable. If that's your goal, your mind's set on the things of the flesh, and you will not be able to please God. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who seek after the manner of the Spirit or live after the manner of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit is what they will do. They set their minds on the things of the Spirit. We become mindful of kingdom things. Serving God becomes a priority. Worshiping God becomes a priority. Being transformed by God becomes a priority. It's what our focus is on. It's what our mind is set upon. For the mind set on the Spirit is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is, or excuse me, the mind set on the flesh is death, results in death, demonstrates death in our lives. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God. Why is the mind set on the flesh hostile towards God? Because it's all about me. Mind set on the flesh is, man, it's about my comfort. It's about what I want. It's about my plans. It's about what I enjoy doing. And I just want God to bless what I want to do. I'm still the boss of my life. I get to go to heaven when I die, but I'm the boss of my life as long as I'm here. So the mind set on the flesh is death. The mind set on the flesh, he says, cannot please God. Why? Because you're still on the throne of your life. Your mind, your focus, your desire, your drive, your passions are all about the things of this world that make you happy and comfortable. It's all about my feelings. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. It produces life and peace. It says, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not able to do so. The mind set on the things of the flesh does not subject itself to the law of God. We're still the boss rather than God. And we are calling the shots, and we're not even able to subject ourselves to God. Why? Because our mindset is on the things of the world. And those who are the flesh cannot please God. You don't know why there's so many miserable Christians? It's because their mind is set on the things of the flesh. They think life is still all about them. And they're still on the throne. They're still calling the shots. And they're just miserable. I've been there. I've been there. I've been this Christian that he's describing. And it is a miserable existence. Because God is, if God is, Spirit is in you, if you have tasted the salvation of God, and then you still live for the flesh, you still live for you, He will not let you be happy. You will be miserable. And you won't be able to please God. You won't be able to be happy. You won't be able to feel a sense of purpose. You won't experience the marriage God wants for you. You won't experience the relationship God has for you. You won't experience anything God has for you because you're still calling the shots. And it's all about you. And God will not let us enjoy life that way if we're His child. Every child that He loves, He disciplines. So we get miserable. We get frustrated. And the world looks at us and say, if that's what being a Christian is, I don't want none of it. I'm happier than they are. I'm nicer than they are. I'm more generous than they are. Because their mind is set on the things of the flesh, but yet the Spirit is in them and they're still warring with the Spirit. And there's no peace in their lives. But praise God for verse 9. However, this doesn't have to be reality for you. It says, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You've got a choice now. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, you have a choice. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ in him, he does not belong to him. You can't please God, but if you do have the Spirit of God, you now have the opportunity to please God. You now have an opportunity to have a life that matters and let this treasure inside of you transform your life and make your life purposeful for the eternity and for the kingdom of God. If Christ is in you, verse 10, though the body is dead because of the sin, it's still decaying, we're still going to experience our first death, yet, I lost my place. Verse 10, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. The righteousness of God dwells in us. It says, yeah, the inner man is decaying, the outer man is decaying, we're getting old, we're wrinkling, everything's sagging, our body's falling apart, we got hurts and aches and pains, but the inner man is being renewed every day. There is an energy inside of us that our body may not be able to manifest and function under, but there is a joy, there's a happiness, there's a purpose, there is an excitement in us that our pains can't take away. Our body's decaying because of sin, but our spirit is alive because of Christ. We have a purpose and we have joy. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Two things that means. Well, number one is the resurrection. One day we're going to have a brand new body. All these aches and pains and all this decay is going to be done away with. No more sickness, no more death, no more disease. We can look forward to that wonderful body. But if we are living in the Spirit of God, if we're trying to please God, if we're walking according to the Spirit rather than fighting against the Spirit within us, we're at peace, we're at life. And we will not live forever in this physical body, but the time in this physical body will count. You want to know what causes a lot of the disease in us? Causes a lot of heart disease, a lot of high blood pressure that causes strokes and all those other things. You don't know what causes a lot of that? Stress. Stress. If we could relieve stress, then we won't live forever in this physical body, but we would live better longer. And so he's saying, look, if you'll just quit fighting against the Spirit of God and walk according to the Spirit of God and seek after the Spirit of God and let Him be your treasure and let Him be where your passions are, where your desires are, your hopes are all in Christ Jesus. If you'll let Him be your treasure, life and peace A lot less stress. A lot less anxiety. A lot less illness. Yeah, we're all going to die of something. We're not going to live forever. But we could live better, longer. He gives life even to our mortal bodies by taking away stress and giving us peace. Stress comes when we don't get what we want. Things don't happen like we think they should. Our plans are messed up. People don't act like we want them to act. That's what causes stress. Instead of trusting God, walking according to the Spirit, walking in step with the Spirit brings peace and life, a lot less anxiety. Because we can forgive, because we've been forgiven much. We can love, because we've been loved, even when we were enemies of God. We can do all those things. We're able to do all those things because of the Spirit that dwells in us. We're not able to do it because we're not keeping our mind set on the things of the Spirit. You don't know why you can't forgive somebody? It's because your mind's set on the things of the flesh. They offended me. They did something against me. It's all about me. They don't deserve my forgiveness. That's a mindset on the flesh. You don't know why you're stingy and don't want to give? Because your mind's set on the flesh. Same struggle I have. All this is stuff that I deal with too. But the fix, the way to change it, is to set our mind on the things of the Spirit. And it begins to transform our thoughts, transform our behavior, transform our passions. But if, verse 11, if by the Spirit Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we're under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Yeah, we're not under obligation. We're under obligation to the treasure that dwells in us. We're under obligation to God to live for Him and not for ourselves. And when we live for His glory, it produces life. And it changes the way we live. But if we keep living for the devil, if we keep living for ourselves, keep our mind focused on the things of this world, and that's where our passions, our desires, and our hopes are, we're going to be miserable. I don't know if you're saved or not. That's between you and God, but I know you will be miserable. And it's going to feel like death. You're not going to experience what God has for you. And life is going to stink. But it's all about where our mind is set. What are our passions set on? What is it? Who is it we live for? Live for this treasure that is Christ Jesus. And let it transform our lives. And see what God will do. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, maybe you've been playing church, you think you're Christian, but you're just miserable. One of two things has happened. You're either not saved, you had a religious experience, but you never surrendered your heart and your life to Jesus. And you're trying to fake it till you make it. And you're miserable. You don't care nothing about God, you don't care nothing about church, but you feel guilty when you don't do what you know you're supposed to do. Trying to fake it till you make it, it never works. Or you've been saved, but you never got your mind off the things of the flesh. You're still worried about you. You still want to call the shots, and you're miserable. Surrender to the Lord today. If you're here in life, you feel like you're growing in Christ, don't let your guard down. Don't let your guard down. The flesh is still there. Don't give in. Don't start thinking about you. Keep your mind on the things of God. Keep your heart set on the things of the Spirit. And let's see God manifested in us today. If you would stand with us. Lord God, we thank You so much for Your great love. Thank You that we are no longer under the condemnation of sin, but Lord, we must confess for too long and too many times our mind is set on the things of the flesh rather than the things of the Spirit. And so God, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you, they can't please you. God, they can't get right with you. God, I pray that you would open their hearts to the reality of their sin, the reality of their condition, and God, they would submit to you today and let it be known to the world that they have come to know you as Lord and Savior, and they're going to live the rest of their life for you. God, I pray that they would let us know that. Lord, if for those of us who are saved, Lord, there are times in our life when our mind is set on those things that draw our attention and our focus away from you, and life becomes about us. God, forgive us for that. Help us to repent and turn away from ourselves and turn to your Spirit, and let us walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. Let our lives match what the Spirit does and what the Spirit says and what the Spirit wants us to do and the goals that you have for us and the plans you have for us. Let them be our passion and our desire and our drive rather than just being happy here in this world, comfortable. Joy comes through obedience. God, whatever it is you want to do in us today, we give you the freedom to do. Transform us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing You Do Business with the Lord. If you want to come down and share with me what